Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sri Gaurapanima Ki Jai Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai Hare Krishna. So, today's a very auspicious day, the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this full moon evening of Falguna. Prabhupada said Falguna means that between February and March, wherever the full moon comes. So sometimes we've had Gopranima in February. This year we have it in March. So Falguna, that month, where the full moon appears. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to bless us. And he came at a very opportune time in terms of Kali Yuga and made Kali Yuga very auspicious, which in generally Kali Yuga is inauspicious. But by his appearance he made Kali Yuga very auspicious. It reminds me of many years ago, I believe in about 1977 or so, we were in Mayapur, and at that time the full moon came, and it was a very amazing full moon. It was closer to the earth, and the moon was just, it was indescribable. It was just so huge, you felt like you were, it was right there before you. Actually it was, but it was so close. And I recall that the devotees, they were fasting all day. And in the evening, just before moonrise, all the devotees set out to walk to the Jalangi, the confluence of the Ganga and Jalangi River. And I recall that there was thousands, maybe thousands. It looked like thousands in those days, I'm not sure. It felt like thousands of devotees. I remember we were walking from Mayapur compound and then all the way down, which is probably, I don't know, maybe a couple of miles walk, wasn't it? I think it was a couple of miles. And it was really amazing because you're fasting all day and it was kind of, you were kind of like dead, really. You were just thinking about to get some prasadam. That's all you could think about. I mean, this is Lord Chaitanya's movement. So we were thinking, well, when's Lord Chaitanya going to benedict us with some prasadam? We were thinking about that prasadam. Really. Then when we found out we were all going to take a trek down there, it was kind of discouraging. Kind of became unhappy. We didn't know what to think. But anyway, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we were able to make that trek all the way down. And it was just the most amazing thing. You didn't feel that you could make it, but just by the association of devotees, by the hundreds and thousands of devotees that were together, and making that trek down there to just glorify the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you were able to acquire this kind of energy. You have to dig real deep, and all of a sudden you had this energy, and you actually forgot about how tired you were and how hungry you were. It's just, you just forgot, literally. And as we were walking, even though you were exhausted, you really didn't, just didn't even think about it. And I do recall that at that time we brought our son to Mayapur with us, Acharya, and he was no more than like 2 years old. And I recall that Tadit and I had to carry him all the way there In fact, he fell asleep in our arms. So we were walking that whole distance. And, you know, you're just a skinny little devotee. You know, just a young little skinny guy, you know, barely can stand up. But to speak of carrying your son, 2-year-old baby, all the way there, it was pretty phenomenal. And finally, when you got there, it was so, you were so relieved and you were so anxious that when we got there, the kirtan just culminated in a huge kirtan. And it was dark. There was no light. I only had a flashlight, if you were smart enough to remember to bring a flashlight. And that's the only light that you had besides the moon. But the moon was so big, so glorious, that it just took away all of your pain and your anxiety and the stress and the hunger that you felt. It all just kind of dissipated and you forgot about it. And just had an ecstatic time chanting. And we went into the confluence and we chanted our Gayatri mantras, and then we came back to the temple. And I can't even remember if we even had a feast at that time. Was anybody else there that year? Yeah. I think it was in 77. I believe that. What's that? He was born in 75. Yeah. So it was a pretty amazing time. And I was just remembering how that particular incident, and how when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and it was the eclipse, right? Or full moon. And everyone was ecstatic seeing this full moon and ecstasy and chanting the holy name. And everyone, it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, everyone forgot about everything. They forgot about food. They forgot about family. They forgot about themselves, their body, their mind. And they simply became engrossed in the chanting of the holy name. And reading that, it just reminded me how that's actually true. It really is true. So when we read that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's not just some false propaganda to, you know, make you think, oh, okay. No. You could actually experience this. And this is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we see that when we get that mercy, when we submit, it usually it's about submitting, just like when we submitted to go take that walk to glorify the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You submit, you surrender. And that surrender is wonderful. So Krishna consciousness is about submission. It's about submitting oneself, surrendering. And when we surrender, this is when the ecstasy comes, or the empowerment. Because you can't really spread Krishna consciousness without being empowered. It's not just a mundane activity, the spreading of Krishna consciousness. It's transcendental. It's spiritual. And one cannot get this power, this potency, without submitting. And this is something that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach in his particular pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. Just thought I'd share that with you. So I'm supposed to read here from chapter 13. A few verses, the introduction, and then a few verses, then we'll speak a few more things on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, we're reading from the 13th chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is the introduction to that chapter. The 13th chapter describes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. The entire Adi Lila describes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's household life, and similarly the Anchalila describes his life in the sannyas order. Within the Lord's Anchalila, the first 6 years of his sannyas life are called the Majja Lila. During this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu toured southern India, went to Vrindavan, returned from Vrindavan, and preached the Sankirtan movement. A learned Brahmana named Upendra Mishra, who resided in the district of Srihatta, was the father of Jagannath Mishra, who came to Navadvip to study under the direction of Nilambara Chakravarti. Excuse me. And then settled there after marrying Nilambara Chakravarti's daughter, Sachidevi. Sri Sachidevi gave birth to 8 children, all daughters, who died one after another immediately after birth. After her 9th pregnancy, she gave birth to a son who was named Vishwarup. Then, in 1407 Shaka era, AD 1486, in the full moon evening of the month of Falguna, with the constellation of Singha, Leo, on the horizon, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as the son of Sri Sachidevi and Jagannath Mishra. After hearing of the birth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, learned scholars and brahmanas bringing many gifts came to see the newborn baby. Nilambara Chakravarti, who was a great astrologer, immediately prepared a horoscope, and by astrological calculation, he saw that the child was a great personality. This chapter describes the symptoms of this great personality. All right, so we'll read text 1 through 127. I'll just read the translations. We'll move along. Text 1. I wish the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even one who is fallen can describe the pastimes of the Lord. Purport. To describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Lord Sri Krishna, one needs supernatural power, which is the grace and mercy of the Lord. Without this grace and mercy, one cannot compose transcendental literature. By dint of the grace of the Lord, however, even one who is unfit for a literary career can describe wonderful transcendental topics. Description of Lord of Krishna is possible for one who is empowered. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Tara Pravartana. Unless endowed with the mercy of the Lord, one cannot preach of the Lord's name, fame, qualities, form, entourage, and so on. It should be concluded, therefore, that the writing of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami manifests specific mercy bestowed upon the author, although he thought of himself as the most fallen. We should not consider him fallen because he describes himself as such. Rather, anyone who is able to compose such transcendental literature is our esteemed master. Text 2. All glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Advaita Chandra. All glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Text 3. All glories to Gadadhar Pandit. All glories to Sri Vas Thakur. All glories to Mukunda Prabhu and Vasudeva Prabhu. All glories to Haridas Thakur. All glories to Swarup Damodar and Murari Gupta. All these brilliant moons have together dissipated the darkness of this material world. Text 5. All glories to the moons who are devotees of the principal moon, Lord Chaitanya Chandra. Their bright moonshine illuminates the entire universe. Purport. In this verse, we find the moon described as Chandragana, which is plural in number. This indicates that there are many moons. In the Bhagavad Gita 10:21, the Lord says, Nakshatranam aham shasi. Among the stars, I am the moon. All the stars are like the moon. Western astronomers consider the stars to be suns, but Vedic astronomers, following the Vedic scriptures, consider them moons. The sun has the ability to shine powerfully, and the moons reflect the sunshine and therefore look brilliant. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna is described to be like the sun. The supreme powerful is the supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, or Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his devotees are also bright and illuminating because they reflect the supreme sun. The Chaitanya Charitamrita Majja 22:31 states, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoya Andhakara Yahan Krishna Tahan Nahi Mayara Adhikara. Krishna is bright like the sun. As soon as the sun appears, there is no question of darkness or nescience. End of quote. Similarly, the present verse also describes that by the illumination of all the moons brightened by the reflection of the Krishna sun, or by the grace of all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the entire world is illuminated despite the darkness of Kali Yuga. Only the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can dissipate the darkness of Kali Yuga, the ignorance of the population of this age. No one else can do so. We therefore wish that all the devotees of the Krishna Consciousness Movement may reflect the Supreme Sun and thus dissipate the darkness of the entire world. Text number 6. Thus, I have spoken the preface of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now I shall describe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in chronological order. Text 7. First, let me give a synopsis of the Lord's pastimes. Then I shall describe them in detail. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, adventing himself in Navadvip, was visible for 48 years enjoying his pastimes. In the year 1407 of the Shaka era, AD 1486, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and in the year 1455 AD, 1534, he disappeared from this world. For 24 years, Lord Chaitanya lived in the Grihastha ashram, household life, always engaging in the pastimes of the Hare Krishna movement. After 24 years, he accepted the renounced order of life, sannyas, and he resided for 24 years more at Jagannath Puri. Of these last 24 years, he spent the first 6 continually touring India, sometimes in South India, sometimes in Bengal, and sometimes in Vrindavan. For the remaining 18 years, he continuously stayed in Jagannath Puri, chanting the nectarian Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He inundated everyone there in a flood of love of Krishna. The pastimes of his household life are known as Adi Lila, or the original pastimes. His later pastimes are known as the Majja Lila and Ancha Lila, or the middle and the final pastimes. All the pastimes enacted by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Adi Lila were recorded in summary from Murari Gupta. His later pastimes, the Majja Lila and Ancha Lila, were recorded in the form of notes by his secretary, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and thus kept within a book. By seeing and hearing the notes recorded by these two great personalities, a Vaishnava, a devotee of the Lord, can know these pastimes one after another. In his original pastimes, there are 4 divisions: Balya, Pauganda, Kaishora, and Yovana, childhood, early boyhood, later boyhood, and youth. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the full moon evening in the month of Falguna, an auspicious time full of auspicious symptoms, when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advented himself with the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna. On the full moon evening of the month of Falguna, when the Lord took birth, coincidentally, there was also a lunar eclipse. In jubilation, everyone was chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hari, Hari. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then appeared after first causing the appearance of the holy name. At his birth, in his childhood, and in his early and later boyhood, as well as his youth, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, under different pleas, induced people to chant the holy name of Hari, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In his childhood, when the Lord was crying, he would stop immediately upon hearing the holy names Krishna and Hari. All the friendly ladies who came to see the child would chant the holy name, the holy names, Hari, Hari. And as soon as the child would cry, I'll say that again. All the friendly ladies who came to see the child would chant the holy names, Hari, Hari, as soon as the child would cry. When all the ladies saw this fun, they enjoyed laughing and called the Lord Gorhari. From then on, Gorhari became another of his names. His childhood lasted until the date of Hatte Gadi, the beginning of his education, and his age from the end of his childhood until he married is called Pauganda. After his marriage, his youth began, and in his youth he induced everyone to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and anywhere and everywhere. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So this is what Archila Prabhupada wanted me to read up to that particular point. So maybe we can discuss a few things about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his appearance. I think many times we've heard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered to be Chanakalao, the hidden incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's Krishna himself. It's not that he's just any incarnation, but he's Krishna himself. But he does not appear like any of the other incarnations, such as Lord Ram or Varaha, Narsingha. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as a devotee. And this is very significant, very important, especially when you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you realize why Krishna came in that particular form. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna was very forceful. Lord Krishna would say, Sarva Dharmam Prityajamam Ekam Saranam Vrajam, that you have to surrender to me. It was an order. Krishna ordered. And you can see that when we get ordered, very difficult for us to surrender to. It's just like even as a temple president, if you ask someone nicely, they may do something. If you really order them, they really don't like you. They don't like it at all. And sometimes they show their displeasure. So we see that Krishna came, he ordered. He was very strict. No compromise. He's the one that wanted the Kurukshetra war to exist, to kill thousands of people that were demons, non-devotees. So Krishna was very strict, very powerful in his presentation. He took no prisoners, so to speak. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was most magnanimous, Patita Pavana. He was the savior, the benedictor of all the fallen conditioned souls. And this is what makes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so special. Even I know that when I first joined Krishna consciousness and met the devotees, it was kind of unique. I came to Krishna consciousness not because anyone was forcing me, but I came because the devotees were so blissful, so they were so happy. And no one told me about Sarva Dharmam Prityaja Mamikam Saranam Raja. No one told me about the four principles of Krishna consciousness that we follow. And I think that probably after I was a devotee for a couple of months, I think I kind of remembered somebody saying something to me about that. And I was saying, oh my God, you mean if I stay here, I have to? I mean, I'm forced to? I have to? Meat eating was not very difficult. I think I was already a vegetarian at that time. But, I mean, gambling, it's not, what's that? That's, you lose too much money. But then when it came to the other two, no illicit sex and no intoxication, now that was really challenging. And I think when I finally heard that, I wasn't quite sure what to do. But if I would have heard that from the very beginning, I can see how I might have been very disturbed. Beginning meaning before I became dedicated to Krishna consciousness. Very difficult. But after experiencing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's magnanimity and the chanting of the holy name blissfully and taking prasadam, I thought, well, okay, I can go on for a while. I can make this endeavor. And I think that I'm not anything special in that regard. I think most of us came because the chanting and the prasadam, it was there. And because of those two items, we thought, okay, I'll give it a try. I'll give it a chance. I can't say that I was very philosophical or I really liked to read a lot. I was simply into sense gratification, just thinking about how to enjoy my life, how to enjoy my senses. That was my prime goal in life. And we can see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. And what a transcendental trickery it was that I suppose I'm looking in this room here today, I'm wondering how many of us were tricked in that same particular fashion. Unknowingly, we might not have even realized that we were being tricked. And then you just thought, okay, I'll stay another day because the prasadam is so great. Or the devotees are so nice. I wonder how many of us really thought, well, I'm going to stay here because everybody's really cool here. I don't know. But just trying to portray how important this movement is in terms of convincing those that are the most fallen, those that are actually very eager for sense gratification and for sinful activity. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to teach us as a devotee. Krishna himself came as a devotee to teach us how to do this, how to function, how to become a devotee. And this is the greatness of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it wasn't any speculation. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was confirmed by great devotees, Rupa Goswami, Murari Gupta, Swarup Damodar. These devotees, they took notes. They were with Lord Chaitanya. They took notes of the pastimes, their association with Lord Chaitanya. And then here we read it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's very important that we understand an avatar through sadhu and shastra. Extremely important. You know, in the early days of Krishna consciousness, there were so many avatars. All the time there was a new avatar or a new Krishna that was created. But we can see that a real avatar is actually brought to us by the sadhu, by the acharyas, and of course by shastra. In the Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, it's described, Krishna varnam tisa Krishna sango pangasya parsadam yagnai sankirtam pranaya yajanti hisu medishtaha. It's described there very nicely that in this age of Kali, people who are endowed with intelligence, sumedasaha, who are a little bit intelligent, that's very important. They have to be a little bit intelligent. And if they're intelligent, then they'll see that Krishna comes with his associates and we worship them by the process of the sankirtan, chanting of the holy name. So this is described in 12th canto. It predicts the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And all these great souls, like Rupa Goswami, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Murari Gupta, Swarup Damodar, all these great souls, they chronologize the activities, the events of Lord Chaitanya. So therefore, we need to understand Lord Chaitanya and Krishna through this process of parampara. Very, very important. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited that he didn't just directly go to Krishna. He went through the parampara. And if we want to understand Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his activities, his pastimes, we also have to go through this process of the parampara. And that is essential. Otherwise, we cannot understand Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like we see that Rupa Goswami, he's like our guru. So Damodar, he's like our guru in the parampara of understanding Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there we're reading through the parampara, those individuals who realized who Lord Chaitanya was, that this wasn't just some phantasmagoria. Lord Chaitanya actually existed. If you go to Jagannath Puri, you can see a statue of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu down by the ocean. It's a beautiful statue. And when you see that, you go, wow, this is amazing. This is where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his pastimes. So Krishna, he thought that it would be wise for him to advent in the form of a devotee to explain personally the transcendental mellows of association, of reciprocal service with the devotees, the loving exchanges, and you know, the servants, his parents, friends, associates, intimate associates. Krishna decided to come in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience that and to show it, to exhibit it. And when you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see that all these particular pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are so transcendental. But they also mean that he's teaching us how we should associate with each other, how we should actually help each other, and be with each other. And that's also the importance of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We should read it in terms of how we ourselves should integrate with each other in the science of Krishna consciousness. Because sometimes we wonder, well, how should we be acting? How should we act in Krishna consciousness? How should we make progress or go forward or make advancement? And that's where the Chaitanya Charitamrita is essential. It's an utmost important piece of literature for us to read in order to learn how we should associate with each other on a daily basis. So Krishna, he came to teach us this in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and to also convince us about our real occupation. We think of so many occupations, but our real occupation is to actually chant the holy name, to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's our real occupation. And by that activity of chanting the holy name, we'll learn what it means to be a devotee. But only Krishna can come and expose this to us. Only Krishna. And he came in that form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, Advaita Acharya, he saw that the world was in this dire predicament. This is like an external reason of the appearance of, or a principal reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Because he could see that the world was engaged in so many pious and impious activities. People were very pious, but they were acting in such a way that they were not getting rid of sinful activities. So there was no devotional service, or there was no Krishna consciousness. And the material world, there was just sense gratification. In fact, I think Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, there's no scarcity in the world except for Krishna consciousness. That's the real scarcity. So Advaita Acharya, he prayed that Lord Chaitanya would come and manifest, because only Krishna could come and institute or propagate the Krishna consciousness movement. How we should spread this movement, how should we associate with each other. Everyone is so absorbed in the sense gratification, but no one is actually really looking for a solution to the real problems of life. Bhoga roga. This is birth, death, old age, and disease. Bhava roga. That's not bhoga. It's bhava roga, right? Bhava roga. Yeah. And these things are not curable by sense gratification. They're only curable by Krishna consciousness. So Lord Chaitanya came to cure us of this bodily concept of life and this birth, death, old age, and disease, and how we need to take up the science of chanting of Hare Krishna. And if we take that up sincerely, then we can actually get above this bhava roga, this birth, death, old age, and disease. Otherwise, there's no solution. There's no solution. And Advaita Acharya, he felt real compassion towards all these fallen souls. And he began to call out to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a sincere way. He was offering tulsi leaves, he was offering Ganga water, and he was crying out for Krishna to come. Please come, only you can come. Only you can deliver these conditioned souls, and only you can teach by example the science of Krishna consciousness, how we can possibly go back home, back to Godhead in this terrible Kali Yuga, where everyone's so absorbed in sense gratification. And it's very difficult to stop through reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It really amazed me how I'm personally so much involved in thinking of the body on a constant basis. As you get older, you never know what happens. You can wake up one morning and it's the leg. The next day it's your arm. And then it's your stiff neck. And then it's your back. And when you get older, it's more and more difficult to get above the bodily platform of life. And unless we sincerely take up this Krishna consciousness and submit ourselves, this is an important principle of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we need to submit ourselves to this chanting. But in order to chant properly, we have to take up this Trinadapi Sunichena Torarapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manandena Kirtanya Sadahari. This is a principle of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. he's saying that if we become humble like grass in the street, or grass, if you go to in front of the house, there's grass there, and people come and they sit, they walk on it, but you never hear the grass complaining. I mean, what a shock it would be if you're walking and the grass said, "Get off of me." I mean, that would be a shocker. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has used this example because that's how we have to be in order to chant the holy name. And only by that attitude, that submission, can we understand how to chant properly. Then we get the realizations of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why he came. This is how we'll understand. Otherwise, we might be able to chant for a few lifetimes, maybe a few million lifetimes, and we may never achieve that particular position that we want of going back to Godhead. So we have to do this. Tanadapi sunichina. We have to be more humble than the grass in the street or in grass. Very, very important. And then, of course, we have to think torodapi sahishnuna. That means that we have to become tolerant with each other. Tolerant, like a tree. Papa describes the tree as like he gives us shelter, protects us from the elements. It bears fruit, flowers, beautiful flowers. And still, if you cut that tree down, there'll be no complaint. So this is really about submission here again, about not being arrogant, but being tolerant. Tolerate so many things. And we should tolerate each other constantly. And if we don't, then we won't be able to chant the holy name properly. It'll be very, very difficult for us, especially to understand the science of Krishna consciousness or the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And amanina manadena. So this amanina manadena, very, very important. How to not expect anything for ourselves. We don't expect people to respect us. We shouldn't walk around thinking, "Oh, you didn't respect me. Don't you know who I am or what I am and what I can do?" A devotee doesn't want that. They don't even want a respectable position. But what they really want to do, what a devotee wants to do, is offer respect to all others. And it says that in such a humble state of mind, one can chant the holy name properly. This is very, very essential. This is one of the main principles of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, if we acquire the qualifications to chant the Hare Krishna mantra without with these tanadapi sunichana torapi sreshnana amanina manadena kirtina siddhahari, if we can actually execute those principles, then Srila Prabhupada says that one will chant without any disturbance. There will be no disturbance in one's chanting. Is there anyone that has no disturbance while they're chanting? Yeah, sometimes when we're chanting, there's so many disturbances. This person, that person, this thing, that thing. Why did they do that to me? Who do they think they are? Those are disturbances while we're trying to chant the holy name of the Lord. So the formula to get rid of those disturbances is the formula that we just mentioned. That's how you get rid of all those disturbances in the mind. And if we can execute that, then we can become qualified to preach the science of Krishna consciousness. And we can develop real compassion for the conditioned souls like Srila Prabhupada. Had real compassion. Sometimes you see early pictures of Srila Prabhupada with the devotees and you'll see that, sometimes he's waiting in line to go to the bathroom with the devotees. And here's Srila Prabhupada, an acharya, a pure devotee of the Lord. How humble he was. And how he lived in the Bowery. And he saw so many degraded situations. But never did Prabhupada complain. But simply he executed his service to deliver the most fallen conditioned souls, which are us. We're those conditioned souls. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had so many associates. Like his two main principal whips were like Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. And they took up this preaching very seriously. They were designated to preach in Navadvipa area. And they would go out. And one day they were walking together and they saw a crowd. And they went to that crowd. And there was Jagai Madai, two drunkards. They were from a Brahmana background, very affluent Brahmana background. But they were drunk and doing so many obnoxious things. And they were considered to be like dacoits, murderers, thieves, rapists, cheaters, everything you could think of, Jagai Madai. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, they decided that they would go and preach to those two individuals, make them devotees, because that would enhance Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's reputation. So they took that chance, they took that gamble. So they went there, and they told the two brothers to chant Hare Krishna. And they became enraged. And what I thought was really funny was that as they became enraged, they chased Nityananda and Thakur Haridas. And they started running away. And I was thinking, how funny that must have been. Here's Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur in their dhotis running like anything to get away from these two dacoits, Jagai and Madai. Funny scene. And so it says that at the end of the day, they gave the report to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he became pleased and says, thank you. I really am happy to hear. So, in the same way in Krishna consciousness, we saw that devotees would go out on book distribution and Harinam. And we'd have to approach so many dacoits and sense gratifiers. We'd have a kirtan party. Prabhupada wanted us to go out and chant Hare Krishna. So we would go out into the street to inundate the city and teach everyone about chanting Hare Krishna. And so many times that you'd see, there could be a kirtan going on. The kirtan was going very nicely. And down at the end of the kirtan, you'd see a devotee having a fist fight with some passerby, some person trying to disrupt our kirtan party and trying to somehow talk to our ladies. You know, devotee women were very beautiful, by the way. Very attractive. And we go in Harinam, these lusty men, they would come and try to, you know, talk to them. Hey, come on with me. And the devotees were very protective. So sometimes there would be these fights with these kind of individuals, these kind of dacoits, these people that were just unruly, completely involved in sense gratification, didn't care anything about what we're doing, no respect. So it reminded me of Haridas Thakur, Lord Nityananda, approaching these dacoits, Jagai Madai. And they were chasing him and they were running away. It was, to me, it produced a really funny kind of scene. But it was true. Even we experienced it in the early days of Krishna consciousness, that would happen. And then at the end of the day, we'd go home to the temple and we'd tell the temple president what happened. And if it was book distribution, we'd write our score down. And then we present those scores to Srila Prabhupada. There would be a newsletter. We'd give it to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would be so happy to hear the scores because he knew what it meant to go out and try to give a dacoit sense gratifier, a person who an atheist, who has no desire for Krishna consciousness whatsoever. And you give them a book and they give a contribution. And Prabhupada was elated. He was elated by it. And so happy that devotees are performing this activity of Krishna consciousness like this. And then another thing was that after that incident with Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, the next day they tried to approach them again. They tried to approach Jagai Madai again. And then I think it was Madai who picked up a pot, you know, like a broken piece of pot, clay pot, very dangerous. If you ever seen a broken pot in India, these clay pots, they're very sharp. He picked up and he threw it at Nityananda and immediately blood started flowing. And he forgave them. He said, "No, even though you did this, I forgive you, because I simply want you to chant the holy name of the Lord. I forgive you. Please just chant the holy name of the Lord. I beseech you, please chant." And Jagai, immediately he could see that this was a special person. And so he immediately bowed down. And he had to restrain Madai. He had to restrain him, because he was a bit more fallen, probably. Because he wanted to chase and capture Nityananda and Haridas Thakur and beat them. But Jagai stopped him. And again, Nityananda beseeched him, "Please chant the holy name of the Lord." And by that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was informed about this incident, and he came running. And when he got to that spot, he wanted to pull out the chakra, Ashurashan chakra. He wanted to call it to chop off the heads of Jagai and Madai. But Lord Nityananda, he grabbed a hold of Lord Chaitanya and begged him, "Please don't. Please don't. This is your mission. Your mission is to actually save the most fallen, wretched individuals in Kali Yuga. And if you kill Jagai Madai, you'll have to kill everybody. Everyone have to be killed. Because everyone's like this. Especially in Kali Yuga." So, this is a wonderful story depicting what it takes to chant the holy name of the Lord and the mercy that's there from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because his purpose, his mission, is to save the most fallen of this age of Kali Yuga. And that's our mission. The mission of the Lord is our mission, and it's Srila Prabhupada's mission. This is what we're doing. This is what we should be thinking, how we can develop this compassion for those individuals out there that are suffering like anything, whether they be a first-class criminal, second-class, or third-class, they're all criminal. Everyone's a criminal. Everyone wants to enjoy the booty of Krishna. This everything here belongs to Krishna. Everybody is trying their best to enjoy Krishna's booty. And they're trying to manipulate it. So you can be first-class criminal, second-class, third-class, doesn't matter. Everyone is suffering like anything. They all are in need of Krishna consciousness, of devotional service. And those few of us that are in this temple here, that's our business. You can see how few of us are here. Not very many compared to what's out there in Los Angeles. There's very few of us. We're like a little dot. But because we have Krishna with us, because we have the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and of course the predecessor acharyas, we can make a dent just by being sincere and following that principle and chant nicely, very nicely each day, japa. And that's the essence of what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted. And if we can do that nicely, then we can ourselves go out and possibly find a Jagai and Madai and convince them about Krishna consciousness and bring them back home, back to Godhead. That is our purpose. That is the reason that we're here. It's not a secret. It shouldn't be a mystery. But this is what we're doing. Okay? I don't know if anybody wants any comments or questions. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.